firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to...
Well, it's a great day to study the Word of God. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, and we're so very glad that you've made the decision to spend time in God's Word today. The Bible Bus continues in our five-year journey through the whole Word of God, and we're in Leviticus, a section of Scripture that doesn't get traveled that much. Yet we're learning so many precious things about the Lord Jesus Christ. In the first three chapters of Leviticus, we saw more about the beauty and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ that God pictured in the burnt offering, the meal offering, and the peace offering. When we came to the sin offering in Leviticus chapter 4 yesterday, we saw a dramatic change in the focus of the offerings, from an emphasis on who Jesus Christ is, now to the sinner for whom Jesus died. The sin offering teaches us about the misery of sin and how the Lord Jesus was made sin for us. Well, we'll pick up here in Leviticus chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. It's an important study. We've got just a couple of minutes before we begin, though, so let's use it wisely. Through the Bible's president, Greg Harris, is here today to tell us about a great new resource that we're all very excited about. Greg?
Well, Steve, all this month we've been introducing the new and exciting Solar Bible Bus to our listeners. And in case you missed one of our earlier conversations this month, this is a very small, smaller than a cell phone.
Yep.
It's a device that is an audio player. It's solar powered. It comes with an electric charger if you don't have enough sunlight to charge it, but most people are going to have enough sunlight if they want to use it that way. It has earphones. And what's really exciting beyond the hardware of this technology is we've been able to get the entire 5 years worth of radio programs on this device in the order that Dr. McGee taught it. So you could literally have a marathon and just press play and just listen to program after program, go from the Old Testament to the New and back again.
Yep. And you can also get the audio Bible as well, either in King James or New King James, on this same device at the same time.
That's right. When you order the device, you pick which of the Bible translations you want. And so, yes, as you've said before, you can listen to the scripture passage we're going to study.
Right.
And you can listen to Dr. McGee. And if you want, you can go back and listen to both again. It's just unlimited in terms of how you can use this device to study the Word of God.
Right. And Greg, how much are we asking listeners to pay for this?
We're asking $55 for this device, which is really barely beyond the basic costs of purchasing it and getting it shipped. It's actually made overseas, and we bring it here, and we'll ship it to you, all of that for $55. And Steve, we've said this before, but it's really meaningful to me. This is the first time in the history of our 50-year-old ministry that we've been able to say to a listener, for a very reasonable cost,
right,
you can have the whole Through the Bible series in your hand, and you don't need anything else.
Right.
I mean, remember the days of cassettes? It was hundreds of dollars.
When I first started as the broadcaster, I can remember walking in, hosting Through the Bible. I'd walk in through the back door, and there would be half a dozen guys duplicating tapes and packing them and shipping them and sending them out. And the entire five-year set, I think, was like $1,500.
Yeah, it was hugely expensive. It was bulky. And now, by the grace of God, we can put it in the hand of almost anyone for a very small amount of money.
Right. That is exciting. Now, we have a listener. His name's Stanley. He lives in Colorado Springs, and he caught this vision, and he's using it in a similar way with his phone. Here's his letter. I got on the Bible Bus in 1982, and I've not given up my seat yet. Time was I couldn't listen to the radio broadcast during the day, but my wife would listen and record it in the morning, and we'd listen together in the evening. Sometimes we'd listen twice if it was especially good. Now, 30 years later, I listen via your podcast on my phone. Times have changed, and technology is amazing, but the Word of God is what still holds my attention. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The book points me to Jesus, and that's all I need. Thank you for keeping up with the times.
And Steve, I really appreciate the point that Stanley made. While we do get excited about technology, and you and I both use a lot of technology in our own lives,
right,
the hardware and the technology isn't what gets us excited.
Yeah.
What gets us excited is the vision that people can enjoy Dr. McGee's teaching, enjoy the audio scripture in any way, at any time, almost anywhere. I mean, I can listen to it on an airplane when I'm on these long international flights.
Right.
You can listen to it in your car when you're on your commute or if you're out for a walk. It's just it's such a wonderful tool, and we're so grateful to God to have it.
Greg, why don't you open us in prayer as we begin the study and also ask for the Lord's blessing on this new device?
Heavenly Father, we do agree with our brother Stanley that technology is amazing, but in and of itself, it's of no value unless it's attached to the significance of your word. Thank you for letting us use technology to make your word even more accessible to more people. We pray you would bless these devices to do just that. And now as we listen to the teaching of your word, draw our hearts close to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, friends, we return back to our study of the sin offering. This is the one that we did not finish in just one study. And it's found here in the fourth chapter of Leviticus. We're putting in at verse 13. And now here in verse 13, we're coming to the sins of the congregation, then sins of the ruler, then sins of the common people, and then the law of the sin offering. This is the longest chapter on the offerings that we have. Now, in the sins of the priest, there was the requirement made of a young bullock. That was the most valuable animal of all. And it speaks of the responsibility of the priest. The man that was in that position had greater responsibility. Now, we are told in verses 11 and 12, and the skin of the bullock and all his flesh, with his head, with his legs, with his innards, and his dung, even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood with fire where the ashes are poured out shall be burnt. Now this is a radical departure from the other offerings. The remainder of the bullock was taken without the camp and burned. Now, that didn't happen in the other offerings. Now, this has to do with sin. And why was it done? Well, it was to teach them the exceeding sinfulness of sin. This animal was the sin offering. And there's no thought of the consecration or the person of Christ. Rather, here, he's made sin for us. And I think even a deeper meaning is suggested when you turn to the Epistle to the Hebrews, Hebrews 13, 10 through 14. Let me read this again. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. This is a tremendous truth that is here. This reveals the exceeding sinfulness of sin, the sin offering does, and that religion won't satisfy your heart, and you can't sprinkle a little talcum powder on your sin, and you can't forget it. My friend, deep down underneath, you have a sin nature, and you have that deep down conviction that you are a sinner. Every person has it. You have it. Don't try to tell me you don't, because every individual has that. Now, what is it that can remove that? What is it that can take it away? Well, religion will not satisfy your heart. You can be religious to your fingertips. And a great many people make a great deal of self-effort, and a great many today try all sorts of cures and nostrums, thinking that they'll remove this. Nothing in the world can remove this sin complex that you and I have. Nothing in the world will take it away but the death of Christ on the cross. And he alone can offer you forgiveness of sin. That is the meaning. That Part of the animal had to be taken without the camp. Now we come here to the sins of the congregation. And I read verses 13 and 14. And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done and are guilty, when the sin which they've sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. Now the victim for the entire congregation is the same as for the priests. The young bullock, again, is the most valuable offering. You see, the high priest represented the entire congregation before the Lord, and the requirement, of course, would be the same. Now, I think there's another lesson here. There is not only individual responsibility before God, but there is corporate responsibility. Now, will some of you folks hear me very carefully? God judges nations. And many people that maybe didn't participate in the sin of the nation, they're judged along with it. When Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 A.D., the whole nation went into captivity. That is something that happened. And when the Roman Empire went down, everybody went down with it. And friends, you and I are responsible. We're part of a nation today. And not only that, but God judges churches today, local congregations. I hear people say this, well, you know, my church has gone liberal, but I'm going to stay in and witness. Where'd you get that idea? That's not in the Word of God. May I say to you, if you are identified with that liberal church and a member of it, God will judge you right along with it. Don't get the idea today that you can separate yourself from that which you belong to. Your responsibility is an individual responsibility. And when that individual responsibility leads you to join up with something that's wrong, you'll be held responsible. This is a tremendous truth. The Lord Jesus, for instance, wrote to the seven churches of Asia in Revelation. It was to the churches. Every member of the church was involved. Now let me read verse 15, and the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. You see, the elders represent the nation, as the elders in Revelation represent the church. Now the ritual here is identical with the offering of the priest. I'll not go over that again. And so that brings us down now to verse 22, where we have the sins of the ruler. When a ruler hath sinned and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord, his God, concerning things which should not be done and is guilty, or if his sin wherein he hath sinned come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering a kid of the goats, a male without blemish. Now this is a ruler, and this is true, of course, of all these different groups that are to bring an offering, because they're sinners. They have responsibility that's different because of their position. The priest, then the congregation, and now the sins of the ruler. And each one, it says, and is guilty. This is not a rumor. Guilt must be established. It's so easy to charge people in places of responsibility today and to be inaccurate about it. Before he's to bring the offering, it's to be determined whether he's guilty or not. It's not hearsay, it's not gossip, but it is guilt. And we're told that if his sin come to the knowledge, he shall bring his offering. Now the ruler again is in a place of responsibility. It's a civil ruler, of course, we're talking about here. And this, unfortunately, is something that our politician, I was going to say statesman, but I'm afraid that it's not the word for them today. Our politicians do not seek to please God. I've listened to them on TV in the news that's given and in the interviews that they have, and I have yet to hear one, Democrat, Republican, or what have you, that feels he has a responsibility to God. Publicly, they don't say that. They're always trying to please the people. And today, more and more, they're saying, we want to please our constituents. And, of course, that is about as big a fabrication as you possibly could have, because that's the last thing that they really do. But may I say, God says they are responsible to Him. I candidly wouldn't want certain offices today. I wouldn't seek them out at all. I sometimes think that a man that even talks about running for a very prominent office, that he really ought to have his head examined, because the tremendous responsibility that'll be on him, not before the people, that's there, of course, but he's responsible to God. Now, we're told he's to bring a kid of the goats, a male without blemish. And then we have the same ritual and procedure that you have in the others, but the offering is not as valuable as the bullock. But the goat reveals his responsibility in the fact that it is a male. Now you have the sins of the common people here. That is Joe Doakes and John Doe, by the way. And that's you and I. We're talking about common people now. Verse 27. And if any of the common people sin through ignorance, while he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and be guilty. We're talking about common people, talking about you, talking about me. And the offering was for a sin through ignorance. And it was against the commandment of God. And that is something specifically stated as being forbidden. And it has to be established again that he's guilty, that this is not just hearsay. Now, this offering was to lift the guilt complex and to satisfy the conscience. You see, again, friends, the death of Christ alone can lift the crushing guilt complex from modern man. Psychological procedures have not been able to accomplish this. The conscience may be seared with a hot iron, and you may transfer the guilt complex from one area to another. But down deep in the human heart, there is this strange guilt complex that'll linger on and on and on, and it's only as you bring it to Christ. Now we're told here, verse 28, or if his sin, which he hath sinned, come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin, which he hath sinned. Now, something may come to his knowledge later, and it's no longer a sin through ignorance, but it requires the same sacrifice. And today, what does the believer do? Well, we go to Christ as a lost sinner, and we accept him as Savior. And then as believers, we find out that we sin. So what do? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, it's a kid of the goats, a female. Now, you see again, the offering is of less value than any previous offering for any group. The offering was required, but all point to the death of Christ. Now, the ritual here again is the same as it was for the others, because all has to be put on the basis of the death of Christ. Now, that brings us down here in this final clause of this chapter, and it shall be forgiven him. Do you note that? It shall be forgiven him. That's an important truth. And complete forgiveness was secured for the sinner. Total absolution was accomplished when Christ died, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, here in the law of the sin offering, we find that the place for the sin offering is the same as for the burnt offering. Both refer to Christ here. And then we find the sin offering was holy. That's strange. It's holy. The priest that offereth for sin shall eat it. In the holy place shall it be eaten, in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation. Whatsoever shall touch the flesh thereof shall be holy. And when there is sprinkled of the blood there upon any garment, thou shalt wash that whereon it was sprinkled in the holy place. Now the sin offering was holy, we're told. You remember the Lord Jesus on the cross cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me in the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent, but thou art holy. Oh, thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. On the cross, Christ became sin for us, but he was holy. God withdrew from him, yet God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Let me say this, and let's not let it out, because some folk think I know the answer to all these questions, but I don't. May I say, I don't know. I don't understand this. This is a great mystery. He was holy, and my sin was put upon him. And my friend, he's still holy. You and I'll never know what he suffered there on the cross, because he's holy, and you and I are not. We do not know what suffering really is. Now we're even told that the earthen vessel wherein it's sodden shall be broken. And if it's a brazen pot that it was in, why, it'll be rinsed and cleansed with water. My, how meticulous this was. You see, the offering is for sin, and sin just isn't holiness. It's the opposite. And God is continually saying to you and me, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's Isaiah 55:7-9. You see, you and I today need to be reminded of the fact that he saved us from sin, not saved us to sin. That's very important. Paul says in Romans, shall we continue in sin? God forbid. Now we come in chapter 5 to the trespass offering. And here we have sin as an act. And I must say, though, that some expositors, they treat these first 13 verses here of chapter 5 as part of the sin offering. There is, I think, ample justification for this. But the word trespass here is important, but it probably should be translated guilt or for his guilt. But we find that the sin offering is required for the trespass because the act of sin is caused by the nature of sin. The axe must be laid to the root of the tree, always. You and I got that nature. All sin comes from the same source. That old sin nature that you and I got from Adam came down to us. We are going to treat this entire chapter as the trespass offering. Now, what is a trespass? I think all of us know that today. Do you ever walk down the street, start to cut across a corner where there's a grassy lot and you saw a sign that says, no trespassing? Well, you know what that means, don't you? Well, trespassing means the invasion of the rights of others. I think that the word liberty is the most abused thing today. A lot of these folks running around talking about they want their liberty, burning things down and parading. Well, my friend, you have a perfect right to swing your fist any way you want to, but where my nose begins, your liberty leaves off. You have no right to interfere with somebody else's liberty, you see. And it's a trespass when you do. We'll look at that next time.
We'll hear more on that tomorrow. Meet back here if you can. And if you can't, you've got a lot of different options on how to listen on your own time and in your own way, beginning with the Solar Bible Bus that Greg and I talked about earlier. You can pick up yours in the online store at ttb.org or just give us a call at 1-800-652-4253. That's also where you can stream today's lesson from the audio archive or download it to your computer or MP3 player. Or just subscribe to our podcast and get it automatically delivered to your device. Whew. We're happy to help you find your best option, so just give us a call at 1-800-652-4253 or go to ttb.org/listen. Well, that's all for today. See you back here tomorrow. God bless you as you walk with Him.
Crimson stain, be washed in white as snow.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.